Yesterday, while I was walking beneath an overpass, I saw the figure of Jesus. He was standing barefoot on broken glass. His beard was graying. The smell of urine filled the air. He was asking if I had some change, anything that I could spare. He was emaciated. His shaking fists were balled up. He had influenza and pneumonia, and he was begging God to take his cup. He was so different from his pictures. He was breathing air through yellow tubes. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ, dying of AIDS, can look right through you. That was the opening to a song called Under Bridges by a group, Brave Saint Saturn. And when I first heard that song in 1999, on the day that album was released, I almost hit the eject button in my car, grabbed the CD, and tossed it out the window. I'm glad that I didn't. Because as I looked open at the liner notes, I saw they referred to this text. And so I read the text, and I realized what they were doing. Although that line still haunts me, Jesus Christ, dying of AIDS, can look right through you. Why should Christians care for people in need? Why should Christians care for people in need? Let's read this difficult text for today. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. We're going to read the entire text for this morning. Read along with me. Jesus is talking here. He says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, I assure you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will also say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for you by the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you didn't take care of me. Then they too will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or without clothes or sick or in prison and not help you? Then he will answer them, I assure you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me either. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Why should Christians take care of those in need? Why should Christians serve those in need? Christians should serve those in need because if we don't care for them, we're not really following Jesus. If we don't serve people who are in need, we are not really following Jesus. This is a difficult text for many reasons. Jesus comes and he's talking about his second coming. When the Son of Man comes in his glory in verse 31 and all the angels with him, he'll sit on his throne in glory. King Jesus returns. This is about his second coming, which I think Advent going into preparing to celebrate his first coming. It's an appropriate time to read this text. This is about his second coming. And so he separates, he gets all the people of the earth and gathers them all together, and then he separates them as a shepherd separates and has to sort through sheep and goat. And in our minds, we don't understand this text because we're like, that's an easy job, right? To figure out between the sheep and the goats. So, before we go any further, So that we can better understand this text, it's time to play everyone's favorite game, sheep or goats. All right, what do you guys think? Sheep or goat? Goat. Goat. You guys think goat? Goat. Correct. Good job. All right, so that's easy, right? Let's go to the next one. Go ahead. Everyone? Sheep, sheep. Everyone says sheep. Okay, what is this? Oh, it's a goat. You interrupt the volume a little bit, Jason. What's the next one? What is this? What is it? Ah, it's a sheep. All right, go to the next one. What's that? Sheep or goat? Sheep. Everyone says sheep, sheep, sheep. Okay, let's see. Ah, it's a goat. Next one. Sheep or goat? Sheep. Yes, correct. Good job. And finally, sheep or goat? Fuzzy bacon. That's right. Excellent. Good deal. The reason Jesus separates the sheep from the goat here, and the reason he does that is because, I just showed you. You're like, it's a sheep. It's, I don't know what it is. Half of them were wrong. I did so much research trying to make sure we were getting the right one in, and that actually was. And some of them, you could barely see the horns. And I mean, sometimes you look at them and they got so much hair, you're like, I don't know what this is. The point is that every church will be filled, with both sheep and goat. There are people who, have deceived the church throughout the ages and made everyone think that they're Christian and they're not. There are those who've deceived themselves and they think that they're following Christ and they're not. We can't judge that. If someone tells me they're Christian, I gotta, you know, go off that. I mean, if their actions are weird, I have to say, well, your fruit stinks. You know, your fruit's rotten, but, you know, you say you're a Christian, so, let's deal with you on those terms. So, you got the sheep and the goat thing. We are not the good judge. Jesus is. He's the only one who knows the condition of someone's heart. And so he separates them. One from another. He is able to do that. So he puts the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And it's interesting because he comes and he says, he identifies a number of things to the sheep. He says, you're hungry. I was hungry. I was thirsty. I was a stranger, naked, sick, imprisoned, and you took care of me. And the righteous say, wow, that never happened. And Jesus says, what you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you've done for me. What you've done for the least of these little ones. Remember through Matthew, Jesus is talking about little ones and relationships with the little ones. Followers of Christ. What you've done for the least of these brothers or sisters, these family members of mine, these followers of mine, you've done for me. He's saying if you take care of fellow disciples who are in need, you're really caring for me because your heart cares for the same people that I care about. He says to the others, to the goats on his left, you didn't do anything. You did nothing. You had all these opportunities and you did nothing. And they said, we never saw you like this. Verse 45, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me either. Why should we take care? Why should we serve those who are in need? We should serve those who are in need because if we don't, we're not really following Jesus. What is this like? It's like, imagine if there was a family, let's call them the Andersons, and their house burned down, unfortunately. And the insurance says, we're going to take care of it, and we'll pay, and you'll get a new house, and everything's going to be fine. So, the insurance company comes over, the Andersons, though, they don't have a place to live for a while, and so someone says, you know, out of the goodness of our hearts, we will let you come into our house. You can live with us, and you and your whole family. We won't have much room. We'll be crammed, but as the old saying goes, if there's room in your heart, there's room in your house. So come on in. The whole Anderson family is welcomed, except for little Jimmy. Cause that kid's weird. And we don't want him in our house influencing our kids, okay? So like, but we love the Andersons, so the Andersons can all come over into our house, except for Jimmy, right? Now, does this family really love the Andersons? No. Why? That's right. If you love me, if you say you love my family, you gotta love my whole family, right? Like, if you don't like my kids, you don't like me. Like, I mean, that's how it comes to. We're a package deal. We're a family. You can't say, no. That's the same thing Jesus is saying here. He said, hey, look, if you're following me, your heart is going to love the same people that I love. You're going to care for the same sorts of people that I love. And for Jesus, the people he has the most compassion, the most care for are the least of these, those in need, those who need help in a variety of different ways. He says, if you don't serve them, you're not really following me. What else is this like? It's kind of like, well, I like to go hiking. I don't hike nearly as much as I used to, because kids, and they're too slow. No, they start out fast, and then they're done, and they're like, "Ah, can you carry me on your shoulders, Daddy?" And then the other one wants there, and I'm like, "I don't know how this works." I used to go hiking. I like hiking. What's cool about Grand Traverse County is we got all these hiking trails, right? They're awesome hiking trails. One of the nice things is you can hike pretty much everywhere around Traverse City. The problem is that if you don't follow the signs, you might think you're heading towards Acme and end up in Leelanau, halfway up Leelanau Peninsula. Really, you can. And it's happened before. Like, where am I? I just thought I was getting a little tired. Because you're not paying attention to the signs. Same thing. Jesus is saying, be careful, be warned. Don't think you're really following Jesus. And then you find out one day, you wake up one day that you're not. Don't think that you're following Jesus. Don't think that you're truly following Jesus and then find out one day, to the horror of so many people, that they're not really following Jesus. Maybe you're following a false Jesus, a lowercase Jesus, a Jesus you've made up in your own image. I like hippie Jesus. Well, I like militant Jesus. I like Jesus who barges in your door and drags you out and makes you do what you need to do. I like Jesus who gently knocks at the door. You know, how about we follow the real Jesus? We can create a false Jesus in our mind. Maybe you like coming to church. Maybe you like the social atmosphere of it. He's saying, make sure you're really following him. Make sure you're really following Christ. Now, you might object to this and say, wait a minute, is Jesus here preaching a message of works-based salvation? Do you have to do good work to be saved? Is that what he's saying? No. He's not making that argument at all. What he's saying is, if you have compassion and you help people in need, you are showing evidence that you've actually been transformed. Because what happens when you get saved? You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It is by grace through faith, not by works, so that no one can boast. You accept Jesus. He transforms your heart. He changes you. And God, the Holy Spirit comes in and he dwells within you. And he starts to slowly transform you. Not all at once, because he's gracious. But he starts to transform you. And you start to care for the things God cares about. And so when you care for people who are hungry, thirsty, strangers, homeless, naked, sick, and in prison, you're caring for the people that God cares about. You're starting to reflect his heart. Right? So it's kind of like this. You know butterflies like start off at caterpillars, right? Go ahead and put up this picture there. So, caterpillars, right? They start off, and what is going on, internet? Man. Paul said the prince of the powers of the air is always at work. Well, sometimes the prince of the powers in the printers is always at work. Thank you, Misty, for bearing with us. We'll have to pray over the computer or something. I don't know. But you start off with, you look at a butterfly, right? Well, okay, it starts off as a caterpillar, and it goes into a cocoon, and it does this amazing work of metamorphosis. And if you were to break open that cocoon midway, you're not going to see, like, this caterpillar with, like, these wings starting to grow out. That's not what you see. All you see is, like, goop. It's just this goop, because the whole thing breaks down and is entirely transformed into this new creature that is still somehow the same as the other creature. It's a radical transformation. And so that's called metamorphosis. And if you looked at a monarch butterfly and you looked at them and you saw the wings and everything, and you take your kids and you say, hey guys, look at this butterfly. You see those wings? That's the process of metamorphosis. Is that a correct statement? No. The wings are not the process of metamorphosis. The wings are the evidence that has gone through the process of metamorphosis. And so the wings aren't the thing itself, they're the result of the thing. In the same way, our works are the result of having a transformed life. And Jesus is saying here, if you have not been transformed and you don't care about the people that I care about, that's evidence that you haven't been transformed. You haven't gone through the process of salvation in Jesus Christ. Your sins haven't been forgiven. Some of you might be looking at this and say, oh, well, you know, this is all well and good, but Pastor, there is so much need in the world. Just turn on the TV. And the TV's ruined a billion really good songs because now whenever I hear them, I can't think of really sad images flashing through my mind. And there are. There are really good needs, good causes that you can go throughout the world and the country. You can help children in Africa. You can help children in China. You can help the elderly. There's too much. We can't possibly do everything. And that's not what Jesus is saying. There's this concept in amongst theologians called subsidiarity. Subsidiarity says that basically the person closest to the problem is best able to deal with it. And that should be the first line of defense. So, for example, I'm having an argument with my wife. I want to eat potatoes for dinner. Well, we're eating broccoli. It's healthier. Potatoes, broccoli. So, who's the best people to help us in this conflict? I know. We'll go to the federal government. We'll go to the Supreme Court, right? They'll help us make this decision. No, that's ridiculous. The husband and wife should best figure this out first. And let's say it turns into this bigger fight, and we're not sleeping in the same room anymore, and we're having all these marital disputes. So, we go to the Supreme Court, right? Right? That's who should help us out in our marriage. No. Federal government, no. We go to the county, no. We go to the police, no. First of all, we reach out to our parents and see if our parents, our extended family can start to help. And maybe our church family, because you know us better and you're able to help us out. And then, you just start escalating it. In the same way, this idea of subsidiarity says that the people who are closest to the problem are usually best capable of dealing with it. And so I think in the same way, Jesus, he doesn't say, you heard about me being hungry. And he says, you saw I was hungry. I was here right in front of you. Not on TV, not on the internet. If God moves your heart to do some of that stuff, great. But I was right there in front of you and you did nothing. So this is saying, look, if there's people that you know in your life that have needs, whether they're believers or not, sometimes you can't tell because sheep and goats, right? I just proved to all of you that you can't tell the difference between sheep and goats some of the time. You can tell the difference between a sheep, a goat, and a pig. Congratulations. Good job. the preschoolers in the back can do that, but, we're all doing good here. This idea is like, if you see someone and you know someone in need, you help them. And you go out of your way to help them. And when you're helping them, you're caring for the sorts of people that God cares about. And you're really caring for Jesus. You're serving Jesus. You're following Jesus when you help people like that. Why should you serve those who are in need? Why should you serve those who are in need? You should serve those who are in need because if you don't serve them, you're not really following Christ. That song by Brave Saint Saturn, The Bridge, said, and all have hated, crucified and walked away from the Savior of the prostitutes, the drunkards, rapists, and the gays. I love that song because it gives us perspective. The least of these. Salvation, as we saw last week in the parable, isn't so much about not doing this list of bad things. Yes, there is ethical demands. I am not an antinomianism. I do believe that we have to do, we have to follow the ethical and moral concerns of the Bible if we're truly followers of Christ. And when we fail, we have to repent. Yes, I believe all of that stuff, but that's not the primary purpose. The primary purpose of Christianity isn't to be like, well, I haven't done anything wrong today. Because if that's the case, be a hermit, don't go to church, lock yourself away, and don't come into contact with people and minimize the amount of sin that you're going to do, okay? That's not what the purpose of Christianity is. Christianity is outward focused, as we saw last week. It is to proclaim the name of Jesus, to build the kingdom of God in all the areas of life that you have. And here we've also seen it is taking care of the people that God cares the most about. The least of these, the people who this society and this culture throw away and want nothing to do with. Yeah, we speak a good game. Yeah, we throw welfare money. Yeah, we have programs. But really, at the end of the day, if you look at our culture, we want nothing to do with people who are hungry, people who are thirsty, who are strangers and homeless, who are naked, who are sick and in prison. We don't. We don't. And Jesus says, if you truly are one of my children, if you've truly been saved, you're going to care about the people that I care about. This is hard. Because as that lyric said, and all have hated, crucified, and walked away. We all have. We've all failed at this point. I have, you have. You knew of a need and we didn't fulfill it. We ignored it, we walked away. This is about sins of commission. There's sins of omission, the things that you do, kick your brother. There's sins of omission, the things that we don't do that we should do. Your coworker says, hey, can you tell me how to be saved in Jesus Christ? And you're like, no. Right? Like, that's bad, you know. You see someone hungry and you have the means to feed them and you don't, and you walk away. And Jesus specifically is talking about, I think, the people we're in community with. The truth is that I think, as I was praying through this text, I felt God, the Holy Spirit, was saying that we do a better job than most about community at this church. And you guys still stink at it. Do a better job than many, but you still have so far to go. We do. We need to get closer. And let me give you an example of this from my own life. In my own heart, as I'm praying and jotting things down, and I think God revealed to me, Christmas, as you all know, falls on a Sunday. And so in my heart, I'm going, gotta work on Christmas. I gotta work on Christmas. You kidding me, man? I gotta work on Christmas, right? Like, no. No. Here's the thing. I mean, I get it. We're having Saturday night, Sunday morning services. Most of you guys are going to come Saturday night. I get it. It's fine. But as I'm praying through this and struggling with this, the right attitude to have is I get to spend Christmas morning with my church family. How often does that happen? It never happens. And usually a leap year always fouls it up. I don't know how that works. I get to have Christmas morning with my church family, with people who are celebrating the same thing I am. Not so much the presents, not the pageantry, not the food. I love all of those things. I'm not against all those things. But ultimately we come and we'll have a short service, but we're able to worship and celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ and look forward to His second coming together as a church family. There is no bigger blessing. There isn't. We need to be better at that sort of community mentality. I get to spend time with my church family because then we get to know when each other are hurting, what our needs are. We are best equipped then to help each other. We do better than many, but we still stink at knowing what each other's needs are. You should serve those who are in need because if you don't care for them, you're not really following Jesus. Be a sheep. Be a butterfly. Let's pray. Lord, search our hearts and know us. Reveal to us, Lord, there are some of us here who care nothing for those who are in need. And Lord, I am not in a position to discern whether they are truly your followers or not, but I pray that you will reveal to our hearts whether we are just being disobedient disciples or whether we need to come to true saving faith in you. I pray for this congregation, Lord. I pray this week you will put people in our lives who are sick and in need and strangers and, Lord, frankly, unlovely to the rest of society. And I pray that you will make it awkward and difficult and that we will help them in the name of Jesus Christ through the glorious working of His name. Lord, help us to realize that because we've been changed, our hearts have been transformed, and we now need to care about the people You care about. Help us to care for the least of these. And help us to realize that the only reason we can care about others as deeply as You do is because we've been transformed by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. Maybe you're similar to me, where you can go through every failure you've ever had in life. Let me encourage you here too. Jesus did not condemn and curse the goats on the left because they failed once. In verse 42 and verse 43, let me sum up what He says. He says, "You've never done anything. You had an opportunity to serve Me when I was hungry, when I was thirsty, when I was naked, when I was a stranger, when I was sick, when I was in prison, and you never did anything because your heart is cold and dead." That's what He's saying. So if you're here and you're like me and you've failed and God has brought people into your life and you've not served them, repent. But you're human. God forgives you. You're still one of His sheep. He still cuddles with you.